Chapter number two, and chapter number four, rather. I won't preach very long, but I want to give you a thought that's on my heart. Exodus chapter number four, we find a place we'll stand and read a few verses here. Appreciate all the testimonies and the Lord meeting with us. And it's always encouraging to me to know that God's helping everybody else. I know He's real to me, but I don't know, it just does something for you, Brother Laddie, when you see Him working other people's lives. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate God moving, meeting with us here tonight. And I got this on my heart this evening. I want to give to you before we go to the house, and maybe be a blessing to you. Book of Exodus chapter number 4, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and called it, and it became a rod in his hand." Father, I love you, and I want to thank you, Lord, for meeting with us already this evening. Lord, we could leave right now and say it's good to be in your house. It's, Lord, as you've helped us this evening, Lord, and I thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. And God, I pray that for just a few moments, Lord, that you continue to do that. God, would you not withhold your power? Would you not withhold your touch? Would you not withhold your presence this evening? God, I pray that you make yourself real and reveal yourself unto us, Lord, through your word, God. And the Bible says that you've honored your word above your name. And God, I pray that you would work in a special way tonight and help the hearts of those who are here. And Lord, give us exactly what we stand in need of for the hour. And we'll ask it all in your precious, holy, wonderful name. Amen. You can be seated. When I begin to think about this, I want us to consider, first of all, the facts about this man named Moses. The Bible tells us here who is the scene is centered around here. It's the man by the name of Moses. The Bible said that Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not hearken unto me." And when you think about Moses and the facts concerning Moses, you back up just a chapter and you find something interesting associated with Moses, and that is a burning plant. The Bible said in chapter 3, in verse number 1, that Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the Bible said the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." And when you think about Moses, he has fled from the land of Egypt. He has left the land that he grew up in. He left the land of Pharaoh, and he's left the land of all he's ever known. And he has fled away to the land of Midian. And while he's here, he has traded everything he's ever known his entire life for a new life. And he has traded royalty now for toil. And he has traded a life of ease for a life of labor. And he has traded a life of luxury for a life of a humble shepherd now out on the backside of the desert watching these sheep. And Moses is beginning to do what God has followed God's plan for his life. And God is working and orchestrating through all of it. And the Bible said that Moses led the flock to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the Bible said the angel of the Lord appeared unto him there. And what's amazing to me that in one of the greatest incarnations of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have in the Old Testament, it just happened while Moses was out working. I mean, Moses is on the backside of the desert doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's out watching the sheep. He's out laboring. He's out toiling. He's out with nobody else around. And God appears unto Moses in an ordinary time and in an ordinary day, in a time where God is in time where it didn't seem like anything was happening at all. That was exactly when God began to work in Moses' life. Moses wasn't looking for God. God was looking for Moses. Moses saw that as a path to work, and God saw that as a path to a higher calling. God is beginning to work in Moses' life through a burning plant. But then you'll find not only a burning plant, but a blessed promise. Look at verse number 6 of chapter 3. The Bible said, "Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he's afraid to look upon God. Then the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." He said in verse number 8, "I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey." And God is beginning to work in Moses' life through a burning plant. But now we find a blessed promise. And this promise is all about God. I mean, it begins with who He is. He said, "I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I'm the God that has been reliable. I'm the God that has been trustworthy. I'm the God that has been true." But it's about what He has seen. The Bible said, that he saw the afflictions of his people. He tells what he has heard. He said, I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. He tells us what he knows. He said, I know their sorrows. He knew what they were going through. He knew every time the lash came down upon their back. He knew what that felt like. Every time a child was taken and thrown into the river, he knew that pain and he knew that suffering. He tells us what he was doing in verse number 8. He said, I am come down to deliver them. In verse number 9, the Bible tells us what God is assured of. He said, I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. He wants Moses to understand that just because he hasn't done anything yet, doesn't mean he doesn't know what's going on. And just because he hasn't answered doesn't mean he hasn't heard what's taking place. And just because God is not working now does not mean he is not aware of what his people are going through. And man, sometimes I let the devil get on my back and say, if God knew what you were going through, he would have already fixed it. And if God knew what you were really suffering, he would have already taken care of that. But God is telling him, I know what it looks like, but I promise I've already seen your affliction. I've heard your cry. I know what's happening, and I'm come down to deliver. There's a burning plant. There's a blessed promise. But God has a bold plan for Moses. The Bible said in verse 10 of chapter 3, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. You think about this. Moses is going to have to leave everything that he has built. He lived in Egypt for 40 years. For the next 40, he's been in the backside of the desert building a whole other life. He's got married. He started a family. He's become a sheep herder. And God is telling Moses to leave all of it back and go back to the place where the last time he was there, he killed a man. To go back to the place where Moses has been wanted for murder. To go back to a place where he had to flee for his life. Moses is going to have to leave. Moses is going to have to listen. He's going to listen to what God is saying and go back to a place of danger. Moses is going to have to leave. Moses has been leading sheep. Now God wants him to lead an entire nation. God has a bold plan for Moses. But then you'll find this. I've always thought this was humorous. You find a balking preacher. Because Moses is not all excited about this plan. Moses is not jumping up and down. And Moses is not saying, thank you, Lord, for choosing me. And God, I'm so thankful that you've appointed me for this task. That's not what Moses says at all. For the rest of this chapter and of course the next, Moses is going to argue with God and tell him why his plan's not going to work, why he won't be able to convince the people that God is who he said he is, how none of this is going to come true the way God said it was. Never mind that Joseph had prophesied 100 years ago that this would happen. Never mind the fact that Moses' life had been miraculously spared and brought up for this purpose. Never mind the fact he's talking to a burning bush and to a literal God. Moses said, Lord, this plan is never going to work. Moses begins to argue with God. Notice his objection in verse number 11. He said, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh? I mean, every time that Moses had a question, God had an answer. He said, who am I in verse number 11? In verse 12, God said, certainly I will be with thee. God had an answer. His obligation, he said in verse 13, behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said, I am that I am. Moses had a question, and God had an answer. Notice his observation in verse number 15. And God said, moreover, unto Moses. Moses had all these questions of God, how are you going to do this? And God, what are we going to do here? And what am I going to say then? And God finally just has enough of it. And he said, let me go ahead and answer the rest of these questions before you get a chance to ask them. And let me go ahead and get ahead of you. And for 7 verses, God sits down with Moses. And he lays down in great detail exactly how God is going to bring his people up out of Egypt. The Bible said he's going to bring them out of Egypt into a land that's flowing with milk and honey, the Bible said in verse number 17. The Bible said that he's going to do it with a great outstretched hand in verse number 20. He said, I'll do it. In verse 19, he said, I'll do it with a mighty hand. In verse 20, he said, I will stretch out my hand. And the Bible said in verse number 21, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. God has laid every bit of it out for Moses. And he said, I understand that you're worried. I understand that you're bothered. I understand that you're worried about how all this is going to take place, but here's exactly how it's all going to happen, laid out in order for 7 verses. But it's amazing what Moses answers after God is done. Moses has asked 2 different questions. God has answered both of them perfectly, revealing himself in entirely different ways. God got ahead of Moses and answered all the rest of his questions before he could even ask him. And this is what Moses said in the verses that we read in chapter 4. But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. I mean, after a burning plant, After all these promises from God, after hearing about God's plan, after hearing about God's purpose, after hearing about God's provision, all Moses can say is, Lord, that ain't never going to work. God, I don't know what you have in mind, but Lord, this is not going to work. This is not going to work out the way you think it will. God said, I'm going to work it out. Moses said, they'll not believe me. They won't hearken unto me, for they will say the Lord hath not appeared unto me. He not only says what they're not going to do, he tells them what they're going to do. He said, now Lord, let me tell you what's going to happen if we do your plan. They're going to come to me and say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And isn't it amazing how God comes to us with a great plan and a great purpose and a great idea for our life, and he's got a wonderful provision ahead of us, and all we do is say, Lord, now let me tell you what's going to happen if I do that. Lord, let me tell you what's going to take place if I step out in faith and follow you here. Lord, let me tell you how it's going to be. God is trying to work on Moses, and Moses just said, they'll not believe me, nor hearken unto me, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto me. That's the facts about Moses, the focus about Moses. The Lord said unto him in verse number 2, what is that in thine hand? He said, a rod. And God has a question for Moses now. He said, what's in your hand? God is interested in not what Moses doesn't have, but what Moses does have. Moses caught up in what he can't do, and God said, let's talk for a minute about what you can do. God's interested in what Moses had in his hand. He said, I've got a rod. You begin to look throughout the Bible. God is always interested in using what he's already given you. God is always interested in using what he has already blessed you with before. The woman with the pot of oil. The Bible said that she already had the pot of oil, and they just kept on pouring, and it kept on coming. You think about all throughout the Bible, what God took what was in somebody's hand and used it to perform a great miracle. What about when God took what was in David's hand and used it to kill Goliath? What about when God took what was in Shamgar's hand, that ox goad, and he killed many men? What about when God took the jawbone of the donkey in Samson's hand and killed those thousands of men? What about when God took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and fed a multitude out of what was in their hands? And can I tell you tonight, if God has called you to do something, or God has asked you to do something, he's not expecting you to do it with things that you don't have. He's expecting you to do it with what he's going to give you, and it may be what he's already given you. God said, what is that in thine hand? God wanted to use what he had already given Moses. When God comes to us with a great plan for our life, it may be that God's not interested in what we don't have. He may be interested in what he's already given us. And we need to quit telling God we can't do something just because we don't have it. Look around and see what he's already blessed us with and how he could use it. The facts, the focus, the fluctuation, verse number 3. The Bible said, and he said, cast it on the ground, talking about the rod. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. It's interesting, the commandment that God gives Moses to take that rod and to cast it on the ground. And what's even more amazing to me is that after everything Moses has argued with, he has no problem with throwing his rod on the ground. I mean, after everything Moses has put up with, everything Moses has said, he's finally doing what God has commanded, and he throws it on the ground, and we see the conversion. The Bible said that it became a serpent. But I notice the contrast. The Bible said that Moses fled from before it. That's interesting that just as soon as Moses' faith finally kicks in and obeying God, so does his fear. The Bible said that he cast it on the ground, it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. But then God comes to Moses in verse 5, and he said, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and called it, and it became a rod in his hand. Moses begins with no faith. God, they're never going to listen to me. God tells him to cast down his rod, and Moses acts in faith, and he throws down the rod, acting in faith. God says, pick it up. Moses fled from before it, the Bible said. And he ends it picking up the rod again. Moses is going from fear to faith. From fear to faith. From faith back to fear. And I wish I could tell you tonight that the Christian life is one where we're always full of faith. But all you got to do is read Moses' life, and you'll find what we do is we go from fear to faith. We live in faith, and then we go right back to fear. And then we pick it up, we gather some courage, and we do what God told us to do, and next thing you know, we're running away from it again, just like Moses did. I want to give you just about 5 minutes of thought, from fear to faith, from fear to faith, because what you'll find all throughout the Bible is men who lived in faith, ended in fear, and had to pick faith back up again. Think about Peter. The Bible said that God came to him and told him to come to him on the water. Peter steps out of the boat, and he's walking along fine until he begins to sink. He went from faith right back to fear. But he had enough faith in God to reach back up and allow Jesus to take his hand and pull him right back up into the boat. Demas was faithful until he forsook the Lord. You think about the disciples. They believed in the Lord, and they believed in what he could do until they got in a storm. And then it was just a couple days later, they were trusting him again. We fluctuate between fear and faith. Faith back to fear. Moses began in fear, went to faith. got scared again. He went back to faith. How is it that we go from fear to faith? I want to give you just three thoughts. We'll be done. Why is it important to get from fear to living in faith? Why is it so important? Because without getting past our fear, there's no repetition of God's provision. Look at what the Bible said. And he said, cast it to the ground. And he cast it to the ground. It became a serpent. God's doing a wonderful thing. But in order for him to see that again, Moses is going to have to pick it back up. In order for him to realize what God is actually doing in his life, in order to take that rod and go do what God has intended for him to do, Moses is going to have to pick it back up. Moses needs to get past his fear. There's no recognition of God's power. Without picking up that rod, he would have never known what God was going to do with it. Because until he picked it up, he didn't know what God was going to do with it. He didn't know if he was going to turn it back into a rod. He didn't know if he was going to turn it into two serpents. He had no idea what God wanted to do with that rod until he got past his fear and he picked it up. You know, there's no telling what God wants to do with my life if I'm just willing to get past my fear and reach back down and pick it up. See what God wants to do with my faith. There's no realization of God's plan. Because until Moses gets over his fear, children of Israel are going to be in bondage. Until Moses gets over his fear, Pharaoh is never going to be to have to talk to the Lord and deal with the Lord. Until Moses gets over his fear, there's going to be more that die in the land of Egypt. Until Moses gets over his fear, nobody's making it to the land of promise. I wonder what I'm holding back because I'm living in fear instead of living in faith. I wonder what song's never going to be sung if I don't face my fear to sing it. What life will never be touched if I don't get over my fear of leaving a tract? What life will never be changed if I can't witness and tell somebody about what God has done for me? What is going to happen if I continue to live my life in fear? You'll never be a realization of God's plan for our life. God wanted him to use that rod in Pharaoh's palace. But in order for him to do that, he's going to have to reach down, pick it back up. Getting from fear to faith, why is it so important? But then, what happened when he got from fear to faith? What happened when Moses began to move past his fear and to live in faith? I want you to think about the irony. Verse 4, the Bible said that he cast it on the ground. God told him to do that. And then the Bible said in verse number 4, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. God told him to do that too. Why will we falter in what God has commanded? Because the devil knows if he can keep us in fear, we'll never be where we're intended to be. And as long as Moses was running, he's never going to be able to reach back and pick up that rod again. And what the devil likes to do is to get you so scared of what God's doing in your life, to get us to tuck tail and run and to head the other direction so we never go back and live in faith and see what God even had in mind back at the stake, back at the rod. Nothing will ever be done for God running in fear instead of reacting in faith. Why would we falter in what God has commanded? Can you imagine if Peter had missed walking on the water because he was too scared to get out of the boat? Why would we falter in what God has commanded? Why would we fear what God has created? God created that snake, and God had a purpose for Moses. Why is it that it seems so dangerous? It's the same reason the devil uses on every one of us, because if we live in fear, we begin to do things that aren't logical. We begin to act in ways that don't make sense, just like Brother Epps was preaching the other night. We're scared of things that aren't even there. Moses was in perfect safety, even picking up a snake as long as God was in it, but the devil didn't want him to think about it like that. He wanted to use his fear to distract him. What the devil likes to do is say, oh, if you live for God, if you act in faith, you're never going to make it. You're going to die. That serpent's going to take you out, Moses, if you reach down and pick it up. But why would we fear what God has created? Why would we fall before the purpose is over? Why would God allow Moses to die before he could ever get him back to Egypt to take care of his people? Why would God bring Moses this far? I mean, you think about Moses' life. What an amazing life. How God allowed Moses to be born in the land of Egypt, to be put into an ark of bulrushes, to be sent out into the Nile. God closed all the alligators' mouths. He moves the hippos out of the way and the crocodiles away. He directed the tide right to the place where Pharaoh's daughter would find him. And Pharaoh's daughter, instead of killing him, takes him in and says, where can I find somebody to nurse him? And God sends him right back to the family that he came from. And then he goes to live in Pharaoh's palace for 40 years in luxury and in wealth. And he messes it all up and he kills a man and he has to flee and God has given him a wife and God has given him a family. Why would God stop now before his purpose for Moses is over? Why would he have brought Moses this far if he wasn't going to use him in the future? But that's what happens when we live in fear. We forget about all of that. Living in fear instead of faith. Why would we fall before this purpose? That's the irony in it. But think about this. Think about the implications. The Bible said, verse number 4, the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth this rod and put forth his hand and called it. It became a rod in his hand. God didn't promise him it was going to turn back into a rod. He told him to pick up a snake. And sometimes God doesn't always tell us what he's going to do after we step out in faith. Sometimes God's just expecting us to reach down and pick up the serpent. I wonder if I can be trusted when God says, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail, to just reach down in faith and do what God has in mind. As he has every time before, God delivered Moses, but he'd never known that if he hadn't got rid of his fear and lived in faith. But it led to a proof. The Bible said this, verse number 5, God tells us why he did it. If they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. See, Moses said it wasn't possible. God said, oh, it's possible. Let me prove it once you act in faith. Once I get you to the point where you're willing to trust me, I'm willing to prove it to you. That promise came after he acted in faith. The implications, the inversion. Look at verse number 1 again. The Bible said, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto me. That's what Moses' argument was. He said, they'll not believe me, they'll not listen to me, and they'll not say that I've spoken to you. But look at verse number 31. The Bible said, verse number 30, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the people of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their head and worshiped. The very thing that Moses said cannot be done, God said, if you'll just act in faith, if you'll just do what I'm telling you, not only can it be done, it will be done. Moses said it's impossible. God said it was possible, and Scripture penned when it took place. But none of that would have ever been known if Moses hadn't got from fluctuating between fear and faith to live in faith. And I wonder what I'm missing in my life, because I'm not just willing to live in faith. I'm always cast from one side to the other, living in fear. Lord, they're never going to believe me. Living in faith and throwing down my rod, but then running away in fear and having to gather up faith again to reach back down and pick it up. How did Moses get to the point of finally living in faith? How do we get from fear to faith? Number one, the Word of God. The Bible said in verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses. You see, I deal with fear. I deal with the struggle of my faith. How in the world am I ever going to have enough faith? The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You see, I struggle with fear. How's your relationship with the Word of God? How is it that we fluctuate from time to time and we're always living in fear and back to faith and from fear to faith? I'd say you can probably trace it back to a relationship with the Word of God. It came by the Word of God and the work of obeying. The Bible said in verse number 4, the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and called it. And it became a rod in his hand. Everyone come get us a song ready this evening. I think about this. All Moses had to do after it was all said and done was just watch the miracle. Because he didn't turn from a staff to a snake until he picked it up. You think about a snake as a scary thing. It's a fearful thing. But God expected Moses to act in faith so that he could use him later on down the road. But the problem is Moses would have never got to that point if he didn't get over fluctuating from fear to faith. From faith back to fear. From fear to faith. You say, how can I live a life consistent, full of faith, doing God's Word, doing God's will? A relationship with the Word of God. Just taking Him at face value and saying, if the Lord created it, then it can't harm me. If the Lord's brought me this far, He's not going to drop me off here. If God has a purpose for me, He will not let me pass until that time has come. We're standing tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe the Lord has spoke to you this evening about living in fear instead of living in faith. It's a terrible life to live. It's a life where you can't get a lot done. Moses wasn't going to make it any farther until he got his rod back. It's a life where nobody else has helped. The children of Israel would have never made it out of Egypt if Moses hadn't acted in faith. But it's a life where you struggle knowing if God is really going to take care of you. Because until Moses reached down and picked it up, he'd have never known what God was going to do. You know, you never know what God's going to do until you're willing to just step out on faith and say, God, whatever it is, I'm not living in fear anymore. I'm not dealing with this anymore. I'm willing to walk with you as we sing this evening, do business with the Lord. When we